Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This is That, moving the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. And the more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor Young. And so, without much ado, let's get to the table with your host, and let's get digging.
Praise God. Welcome to another episode of This Is That. And tonight, we have a special guest. I love this couple. I love them. My brother James and my sister Tracy, and I'm glad that you guys moved in here.
Man, me too.
You remember the first time we met? I think that was 2018, when Brother Young
at the coffee shop.
Yes, at the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. The first time that we met, like I felt like this is my brother.
There was an instant connection.
Yes,
but I am convinced that blood is thicker than water, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so family is thicker than friends. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when you have a spiritual connection,
oh yes,
that's even better.
Yes, yeah, the best.
It's even better.
The
so spirit is thicker than blood.
Yes. Spirit is thicker than blood.
So there was that instant spiritual connection.
Amen.
It was amazing.
Amen. Yeah, and ever since then, like, it's been great.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you guys made the move to stay here.
Amen.
In Kansas.
Me too. Praise God.
Oh,
praise
yes.
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so, in the previous episodes, we've been talking about how do we move forward from where we are. And there are a couple of like characteristics or traits that we need to let go in order to move forward with God. Example of those ones are being the spirit of jealousy, the spirit
yes.
of pride, the spirit of anger. And if we nurture those in our hearts, nurture those in ourselves, then we are not going to be able to move forward.
Amen.
And to take the inheritance that God has for us. And the last episode, Bernate was with us in that episode. We were talking about there must need to have a sacrifice on our altars. In Psalms 51 verse 17, the sacrifices that God would require are this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise.
That's right. That's
what
right.
this says is that if we come to God with brokenness, why brokenness?
Praise
well,
God.
Because if we are broken, if we are empty, there is an avenue where God can fill himself.
Yes.
And
yes.
so if we come.
I don't know exactly where the scripture is, but it says if you fall on the rock and be broken, then he will accept it.
That's
but
right.
if the rock falls on
him,
you, it's
yeah.
going to grind you
yeah.
to powder.
Yeah, you will be destroyed.
You don't want that.
Yeah. It says that when we come to God like, I'm piece me together, Lord. I
Amen.
Don't have it all together.
Amen.
But
Amen.
if we stay and say we're proud and say, I don't have any sin, and when judgment will come, that rock is going to destroy you.
It's not going to be a fun day.
Yeah.
No.
It's not going to be a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in our walk with God, there must need to be a sacrifice.
Amen.
Yes.
God has given us the salvation free, and they don't do anything about it. Yes, it's free, but we have to go and take it
That's
for
right.
ourselves.
That's right.
Bishop was saying, God has these grapes for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to put the grapes in our
mouth. That's right.
But you're the one to go and take it. I want it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so there's that notion that just because the salvation is free, you don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Mm. See, if I take my wallet and I put it in my hand and I say, this is yours.
Yeah.
But you don't grab it out
right.
of my hand, you will never have
That's
it.
That's right.
It'll still be
That's
mine.
Right. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
That's so
That's
true.
How a gift works.
Yes. Amen.
You have to accept it.
Amen. And one more thing is that we are vessels, right?
That's right.
And before we put something in, we had to take something out.
That's right.
And so we cannot put something in if we are so full. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that we need to let out or let go or lay down in, so that God can fill those things in us.
That's right.
So when we go to Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, it would say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
That's right.
"Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
I love that.
See, salvation came with a price. Amen. People say that you don't need to do something for God. Yes, we do. We do need to do something for God. In John chapter 3, verse 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was asking things concerning the kingdom. And God said, "You must be born again."
That's right.
And Nicodemus was asking, "How can I be born again? I am old."
Exactly.
And Jesus specifically told them how to be born again. In John 3, verse 5, he said, "If you're not born of the Spirit, and if you're not born of the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God."
That's right.
When he said, "You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven."
That's right.
That means that there is something that we need to do in order to enter into his kingdom.
It's like that message that Bishop preached that one Sunday. The Holy Ghost that you had as a teenager, it's not going to sustain you when you're 30 years old.
Amen.
You need a refreshing.
Sure.
And that Holy Ghost that you had when you was 30, it's not going to sustain you when you're 40.
No.
You need a refreshing.
That's right.
And that Holy Ghost you had when you was 40 ain't going to sustain you when you're 50.
That's right.
You need a refreshing all the time, a renewing.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember what Paul said, "I die daily."
Amen.
It means that our walk with God is not one time, but it is
continuous.
Every day. Amen. Every day. Every day. It doesn't mean that when we get saved today, that we're going to be saved forever. Why? Because the Bible talks about people are backsliding. They got saved, but then they forgot about God, and they went their own ways, and God was literally telling them, I think we talked about it with Bernate last week. Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, he was talking about, well, when you were nothing, I clothed you, I put gifts on you,
right.
I give life on you. And then when you became big, when you prospered, that's the word, when you prospered, you forgot about me.
Right.
The tone of that chapter is God was saying, I'm sad because you did this one.
Right.
And so if that is the tone that God tells us, then it tells me that I have to keep this salvation.
Yes.
Have to work it out.
Amen.
Man.
It's every a daily
day,
walk.
Every
yes.
day.
Yes. And I am grateful for you guys. To start with, tell us you guys' testimony. How did you guys meet?
Who's going to tell this?
Go ahead,
babe. Okay, so we met at a restaurant in Shreveport
mm-hmm.
on Line Avenue. It's called Superior Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. They had live music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we all would always go listen to the live music.
Right.
Okay, so we wasn't in church at the time.
Mm.
So she was there with a lot of her friends for a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
I went with one of the guys that I was in the motorcycle club with just for the live music and the drinking. So when we got there and they set us down, and where I sat, her table was across the room.
Mm.
And she was facing me. And when I saw her, I told my buddy, I was like, "Dude, okay, if she goes outside to smoke, I'm going to go talk to her."
Mm.
So soon enough, she went outside. So I went out there and talked to her. And after that, we didn't talk for a while. But then I took her out on one date and she said, "That was it.
That was it. I knew." And it was all God bringing
it
us
was.
Together. It really was. So
it definitely was.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Talking about sacrifices, my brother and my sister here, they went through a lot. They sacrificed their way. They pushed their way to grab the salvation mm-hmm. that God has given us. Just like the one with the issue of blood. there was no room for her to touch Jesus on the head or on the hands.
Right.
But she crawled to the ground.
She pressed her way through the crowd, is what the Bible says.
That's right. And there are many people who are afraid to press through.
That's right.
It's because they say, well, this is hard. But you guys went through that, and you came out victorious.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God.
Yes. Amen. And so how did you start with your walk with God?
Well, really it was James that started me. God's always had his hand on me since I was little. Mm-hmm. I just never had any family guidance, mm-hmm. anyone to teach me the word, anyone to say, okay, let's sit down and read our Bible. Mm-hmm. But when James went back and got back in church, he was there a long time so he could pray through. And at first I was like, well, yeah. You have fun. Okay. But then God had in his way been telling me it's time for you to go. Mm-hmm. So we started going to the Greer's Church in Shreveport. And the pastor would say something, and I would look at James and be like, whisper to him, what does this mean? And the
Before
pastor...
Before I ever even got a chance to answer her.
The pastor answered it, and I was like, this happened like 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
And I asked James the last time, I was like, did he hear me? And he's like, no, but God did. Ooh, I just got the chill bumps. Yes, that's when I knew.
Jesus heard you.
Yes, he did. That's when I knew it was time for me to give my life to God.
Wow. It proved to her that it was real, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't fake that.
Amen. No, absolutely. You really can't.
You can't fake that.
No. And he's been working on me ever since.
Yeah.
I'm by any means I'm not perfect.
We ain't none of us.
Yeah, none of us are. But he's been teaching me his faith.
Amen.
With the move up here to Kansas, it
has been amazing.
Yes, it has been, and I thank God for it. It's hard for someone. I've been at my job for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Both my kids live there. We had just bought a house there.
We had just paid the house off.
Yeah, just paid it off. But then when we got up here, we were looking for a house.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, did God move. I mean, it was amazing.
Okay, so he basically dropped a house in our lap.
Yep.
Okay, so, somebody's going to ask you, well, do you think God's just going to drop a house in your lap?
Yes, he does.
He did.
There are a lot of people who would walk with God and they would walk halfway. And they expect God to, like, open this, hey, I have all these things for you.
Man.
Right.
Look, when I came back to God this last time, mm-hmm. and decided, made up my mind, mm-hmm. I don't care what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back to that life.
Right.
Because I was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and I was miserable.
Right.
Okay, when I made up my mind, I got this revelation where the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked.
Right.
Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
That's right.
So God let me know all of this unrighteousness that you've been sowing, mm-hmm. you've got to reap all that mm-hmm. before you can start reaping the righteousness that you've been sowing. So I think people get hung up with that. I'm trying to do right, God, and I'm still getting this and that, and you still got to reap that unrighteousness that you sowed. It's a law in the Bible. God cannot go against that because the Bible can't lie. So once you start sowing the righteousness, you have to outrun all of that unrighteousness that you sowed to actually reach all of the amazing blessings. Mm-hmm. But man, once you get there, oh my God, it is so great.
Yeah.
It is
amazing.
It has blown my mind how amazing it is to live in God's favor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
There's nothing like it in this world.
The reason I ask you guys how did you start walking with God is because there are a lot of people outside who have not walked with God. Because they read about Samuel, they would say, Samuel, Samuel. They thought that when you start to walk with God, you're going to hear God's voice. But that's not always the case. It was not the case for me.
It's not always the case.
I was in the world doing my own thing. I almost destroyed my life doing worldly things. Yeah. And then God brought us out of that place. And it is here where I found God. But it didn't really start right away. We were here 2008. And for how many years? I was halfway. So it's not really the first time, James, I want you to church now. And then we change right away.
Right. No, it don't always happen like that.
It happens to some, but not everybody.
I was going to say, it does happen, but it doesn't always happen like that, no.
Right.
But I was raised in church, okay? And I received the Holy Ghost when I was 19 years old. And instantly, I knew there was a calling on my life. I mean, there was people that didn't know me from Adam that told me, you're going to do things for God.
Right.
You know, you're going to be anointed and all of this stuff. And, okay, I was overwhelmed. But I was trying my best to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, then my first marriage fell apart. I backslid and I ran from God. And I told myself, I can't do this.
Right.
Which, I mean, I can't. In myself, I can not do what God wants me to do. There's no way. This can never be good enough.
Yeah.
But I have learned now that God can do it through me. If I get out of the way.
Yeah. Yes.
If I sacrifice
Amen.
Everything in my past that's not like God.
Right.
He can do it through me.
Right. It's one thing to start walking with God. It's easy to say, well, I go to church. But there are a lot of people that go to church, but they don't have any commitment to God.
Right.
It's there's this difference between walking with God and just going to church. Because when I was in the world, we go visit churches. Why? Because there's a friend or over there and boys will be boys. And like there's some pretty girls over there, or hey, there's some food over there after the service. Let's go, and that's what drives them to go to church. But as we walk with God, as we try to live for God, there comes a time when we say that something needs to change.
Yes,
there comes a time in our life when like I don't want this in my life anymore. I want all in.
Yes, that's right. Just scraping by ain't gonna cut it.
That's right.
I want a personal daily relationship with my maker.
Right.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
And I won't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. In your walk with God, when did that happen for you?
Yeah, I had ran from God for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, okay, even though I had found my soulmate and we had gotten married.
Right.
I mean, bro, I love this woman. You know how much I love her, okay?
Yeah.
So I was still miserable.
Mm.
None of that mattered because I knew what I should be doing. And every night, every day, all the time, God was poking at me. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You need to be living for me.
Mm.
I've got a calling on your life, okay? So I was really miserable.
Yeah.
There is no other place that is miserable as that place right there. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and you know better. Because I was raised in church.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to go back to church.
Gotcha.
I don't care.
Gotcha.
What happens? Okay. That night I went back to church that she said I was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I prayed at the altar for over an hour. I mean, there were people praying with me, but I made up my mind. I am not leaving until I'm full of his spirit again.
Yeah.
Okay. I crawled to the altar and laid on the altar. And I said, this is all I have. All I have is me. And I made up my mind. I told God, I said, look, if I lose Tracy, I lose Tracy. But if she's going to keep me from going to heaven, I will lose her. This is what has to happen. I give you everything. And he filled me again.
Yes,
and that's when I knew. I mean, God truly had a calling on my life. He really loves me. He really forgave me.
Yes.
He really wants me to have a relationship with him.
Amen.
So yes. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going back to that
Amen.
Misery.
Nope. Amen. Oh,
no yeah. way.
No. Oh, yeah.
Once you start to feel the peace, that once you start to feel the comfort that God brings, it's nothing compares to that. And
there is nothing like it.
I don't want to go back to the misery that you were saying. Mm-hmm. So for your case, nobody was really pushing you like me, like nobody. It was inside, all inside in here.
Okay, my family, okay, they knew mm-hmm. I'm living like the devil, mm-hmm. okay? I was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I did what I thought I was big enough to do.
Right.
They never would preach to me because they knew it wouldn't help. Mm-hmm. Nobody was saying, hey, mm-hmm. won't you come to church with me? Nobody mm-hmm. said that to me because they knew I wasn't going to come. Mm-hmm. But when I got to that point, I said, there's only one place for me to go to fix what I'm feeling.
Because
I knew better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, Sister Tracy, how did it go for you?
It's amazing. You know, when I was younger, of course, I went to church with some Pentecostal people. Mm-hmm. And I was probably about 8. And I did receive the Holy Ghost. But I didn't live in Oklahoma. I was just visiting. And my parents weren't in church, mm-hmm. you know. So, and then when we did go to church, it was Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried going to the Baptist church. And I just got lost. And, mm-hmm. you know, grew up in the world. And, you know, I did drugs. I was in a very abusive relationship. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. But God's always had his hand on me.
Amen.
And it took getting with James and him going back to church and me finding my way to church mm-hmm. for the little, I guess, hints God uh-huh. was giving me.
Right.
It was amazing. And the day, like they were talking about baptism. And, you know, I've been baptized by the Baptist and Methodist, mm-hmm. you know.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when the pastor said, you know, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, I looked at James, I said, I've been lied to my whole life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get baptized.
That's right.
Ooh-wee, I come out of there speaking tongues. And
it was amazing.
It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment.
Crazy.
You know, I do struggle. Well, not so much anymore, but at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I hear people, like you said, you know, saying, I hear God's voice. God's mm-hmm. telling me to do this. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't hear none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what's wrong with me? Am I broken?
Right.
You know,
broken.
I don't understand it. But he did give me word. I just didn't know how to, I guess, receive it. I get them words now. And he has shown me so much mm-hmm. as far as the blessings that he has given us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, here you go. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go. And I'm just like, I so don't deserve this. You know, honestly, there have been habits mm-hmm. that I've struggled with as far as like cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
Praying every day. God, I'm tired of it. I don't want to go to hell because my flesh wants to have a cigarette.
Mm.
I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I don't want to lie to you by telling you I'm done and then
right.
I can't be done.
Right.
You know, so I struggled. Well, God delivered me from
Praise
it.
God.
Cold turkey, let them down. Didn't want them again. You know, people talk about their withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only major withdrawal I had was the coughing
mm-hmm.
from my lungs clearing up.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sore throat, but it just lasted that day.
Praise God.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, I just got goosebumps. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. But, you know, for anybody that struggles, just keep praying. Because it was a 4-year deal for me, 4.5 years, you mm-hmm. know. Praying, I'm tired of this, I'm done.
Yeah.
When it was time for me to give up drugs, I laid them down, no problem. Just I'm done.
Yeah.
Cigarettes was very hard.
Man.
But don't give up.
Amen.
Just keep every day praying and asking, and he will take care of you. I promise you.
Amen.
She's right. Look, I was an alcoholic, okay?
Yeah.
Laying alcohol down was I just quit drinking it. It was nothing for me to quit.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tried to quit smoking,
mm-hmm.
it took me 4 years
mm.
It is the hardest thing I've ever done
mm.
in my entire life.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It was this daily struggle.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
It can be done.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
My advice to anybody trying to do right is don't give up.
Yeah,
don't. Don't give up.
That's right.
It is a daily struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But the reward for that daily struggle is so much better than what you're giving up. To me, now, looking back, it's not a sacrifice. Okay, those things that I thought at the moment was a sacrifice is not a sacrifice anymore. Right. I look at it like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
I was stupid. Okay? I don't even think about trying to want to do those things anymore.
Right.
They're in the past, and that's where they're going to stay.
Amen.
Because this life that I'm living now, trying my best to measure up to God's word, is so much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
Yes, right. It is.
And talking about that, because when I first came to church, as I attended the Pentecostal church, these people are crazy. What are these guys? I didn't grow up in Pentecostal.
Right.
I have no background with that. I visited a couple of Trinitarian Pentecostal, but not like what we have over here. And so my struggle was, do I join them or do I stay who I am?
Right.
And that was my struggle for a long time.
Yeah.
Do I follow what they're doing or do I just stay where I am?
Right.
And I was trying to walk with God, but my mind, my heart was not committed to that.
Right.
Until I committed.
That's right.
It's like something opened.
Yeah.
I don't know. How was the case for you? Was that the case for you?
Yeah. I actually looked at James and was like, I can't be Pentecostal. These people are weird.
These people are weird.
No offense, because I know y'all aren't, because look at me now. I would never be the one to run the aisles. Mm-hmm. I would never be the one to be up front praising, you know.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. I got to get up front. Move.
That's right.
I got to praise my Lord.
Man.
Yeah.
He's done too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just...
Me sit still.
No, I wouldn't trade anything that I have been through for the world.
Mm-mm. Amen.
She said, I can't be Pentecostal because there's too much to give up. There's too much to sacrifice.
Probably before, when I was in the world, I would say so that, I'm going to sacrifice that for this.
Right.
Because I love to go to these places and tell me to choose church and that, I will choose the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they don't know that when you give something to God, He's really not taken away from you.
Mm-mm.
Story of Abraham and Isaac. When Isaac was grown up, and God said, Abraham, I want you to lay Isaac. Offer him a sacrifice for me.
Mm-hmm.
He did not hesitate.
Nope.
He went to the altar that God had wanted him to go and he laid Isaac over there. And when he was about to put the dagger on Isaac, an angel of the Lord
stopped him. That's right.
And so what I'm trying to say here is that God will require everything from you, but He's not going to take it from you as He did not take Isaac. He was just trying to see if you are going to give everything for Him.
Yep.
And when you do that, you'll not just get your Isaac, but you'll get more blessings.
Man. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, He told His disciples, he that keeps his life will lose it.
That's right.
But he that loses his life for my sake will gain it.
That's right.
That's the way it goes, man. Right. You give everything to God. Man, He can do so much more with your life than you ever thought you could.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because all the things that in this world we think is treasure. Well, because we train in the world that, this is valuable.
Yeah.
Like going to this parties, that's the best thing, that's valuable. But to God, it's not. But to us, us in the world, it was of value. And God's saying, well, if that is the thing that of value to you, can you give that to me? Now I'll give you something better.
Right. That's right.
Right.
And talking about sacrifices, the hardest thing for me was really getting loose.
Yeah.
Getting all in. I sat at the back for a very long time. Long time. It was hard for me to like go and lift up my hands and praise God and go at the front and cry on the altar. I never did that. There was a time I was so broken.
Mm-hmm.
I told to myself, I don't care who sees me.
That's right.
I'm gonna go there And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And that, at that moment, God met me at the altar. And that is when everything changed.
Yeah.
And so I had to really let go of myself. That was my struggle.
Right.
Was there any struggle for you?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, with the smoking, but yeah, it was all of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I had been living a life of sin,
mm-hmm,
doing what I thought I could get away with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was riding on the fine line of getting in trouble with the law because of the things that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was a struggle to not associate with the friends that I used to drink with.
Right.
It was a struggle to not hang out with the friends that I used to get high with.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard.
Yeah.
But then, like I say, when I think about it now, psh, bye.
Yeah.
Talking about living your best life.
Yes.
That is not living your best life. Living your best life is living in His Word.
Amen.
And walking in His will.
Amen.
And doing what this Word says for you to do. That's living the best life.
Amen.
Because when we get up there and He says, enter into my joy forever.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right.
That night when I crawled up on the altar,
mm-hmm,
I was done. I was done with everything.
Amen.
I was done with the world. I was done with hangovers. I was done with cops sitting at the end of my driveway, mm-hmm, waiting for somebody to come, yeah, buy drugs at my house. Mm. I was done with all of that mess. Mm-hmm. All I wanted was for God to show me that I love you.
Amen.
And you can be my child again.
Amen.
And you can live this life. I told God, I said, look, I may fall flat on my face,
mm-hmm,
but I'm not going to give up. I'm,
amen,
not going to quit.
Amen.
I'm going to put that foot in front of the other one,
right,
the next day.
So, yeah. Sister Tracy, for you.
Well, of course, it was the smoking. But mm-hmm, the devil would put it upon me, and I struggled with this for so long. You're not really speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the gift that God gave you.
Wow. That's good.
That's just noise that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, no, you're a lie, because that's not something I can just sit here and just do.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just making me feel like you don't belong here.
Because mm-hmm,
you're not part
bilingual.
Of this.
Yes.
And I struggled with it for a long time. And I would always say, no, you're a liar. You're a liar.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to beat me down.
Wow.
You're not going to take this away from me.
Wow.
I have learned and fought, and I'm here where I am because God put me here.
That's
and
right.
This is where He wants me.
Yeah.
And I do have a calling on my life. So get out my ear.
Amen.
You
wow.
know?
You're bold.
Yeah. I don't like bullies.
Yes.
I don't either.
And He was bullying me.
Yeah.
And I had to put my foot down. And, you know, that's enough. Leave yeah. me alone, because I know it's from God.
That's right.
And God's going to take me and put me wherever He wants me, and you can't stop me. So, but that was my main struggle, was I would feel like I wasn't, you know, which none of us are really worthy of it, but
no.
The devil would make me feel like mm-hmm. you're nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you're just pretending.
Yeah.
And I knew I wasn't, you know, even though I wasn't raised in the church, you know, I'm still learning the Bible. You know, I go through my verses, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm still learning everything, because I was an old woman when I got saved.
You're not old.
I know I'm not. I'm young forever. But yeah, that was the main thing, was the devil in my ear telling me that this is not real.
Yeah, man.
So,
amen. That's a great testimony, because a lot of new believers, like first generation mm-hmm. Believers, like you and I, there's this always words of doubt that
yep.
creeping
yeah.
into
yeah.
us, saying, "Oh, are you not sure that you're not in a cult or something?"
Right.
I'm like,
well, because you can hear like other people when they speak in tongues, and then like with mine, it's like different, but that's just the way God gave it to me, I guess.
Right.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's how my that's just how I sound.
That's right.
But the devil would use that against me, like, yeah. Oh, you don't sound like they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm me.
Yeah.
That's right.
So yeah.
You really like stand for what God has given you, because you experienced it and you stood by it. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that would give in to that doubt, give in to those voices and say, oh, yeah, you're right. And then they started to fall away.
Yeah, no, no, because I want everything that God has for me.
That's right.
And I want more every day.
Amen.
I hunger and I thirst.
Amen.
And I'm going to get what God has for me.
Amen.
So,
and there's only one way to get it.
That's right.
Don't quit.
That's right. Don't quit.
Amen. So we're talking about that sacrifices and what we need to give up. Was there a point in your life? Was there what was the turning point in your life, living in the world, when you said, "I'm gonna go all in"? Some people, it takes them an accident before they could really say,
"Tell you,
I'm gonna live for you." Different people go through different things, and we go all in for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it start?
My turning point was, I've told you this story in this podcast before. It was two of my coworkers that came over to my house and they bought marijuana from me.
Mm-hmm.
And they went home and they had a falling out because the one guy slept with the other guy's wife and they had an affair.
Mm.
And that's what people in the world do. For some reason, they had been friends again after that. Well, that night, I don't even know what happened, but he shot my coworker 6 times and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning at work, when I heard that he had shot, he was one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't like always over at my house and we wasn't always hanging out. And he wasn't like one of my best friends, but we were close at work. Mm-hmm. I always made a point to speak to him. He always made a point to speak with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard that next morning that he had been shot and killed by the other coworker, I was literally sick to my stomach. And the guy that shot the dude told the detective that I had sold him marijuana. So the detective came on my job and recorded this interview with me. And she said, this coworker said that you had... he had came to your house to purchase marijuana. And I said, yes, that's true. So I had to sit on the stand in court. And they asked me this question. And I had to tell them, yes, I sold him illegal drugs. So they had a cop at the end of the street watching my house to see if I was going to
do again.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, that was, dude, I was done at that point.
No,
I was
we
done.
We could have lost everything.
I could have lost my job. I could have lost my house. I could have lost my wife, my kids. I mean, I could have been in prison for a long time for the way that I was living. And that's why I said I walked that thin line of being stupid. Okay. After that, it wasn't too long. I went to church.
Amen.
And I got what God had for me.
Amen.
And I've never looked back.
Amen. How about you, sis? What was the greatest turning point in your life?
Seeing the change in her husband.
Yeah, that was one of them. But it was, I kind of just knew that I was tired of living in the world. I was tired of smoking the pot. I was tired of spending my money on the, you know, going to the bars, drinking. I just...
hangovers.
Yeah, I was just tired of it. And when James explained to me what happened, you know, him giving it all back at the altar, and God laid out the steps for me because he knew where my heart really was.
Amen.
But like I said, I've never been raised in it, so I had no guidance, but God's always had his hand on me.
Amen.
Through all the things that I've been through in my life, I know now that he's always had his hand on me.
There's a scripture in the Bible that said that Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock."
That's right. Revelation.
So if you don't open the door for him, he's going to always be on the other side of the door knocking, saying, "Hey, please let me in.
That's right.
Will you please let me into your life?"
That's right.
That's what I had to do, was open that door.
Amen. And I'm glad you guys opened
the
door. Me too.
Well, tell us your story about how you moved here in Kansas. Because that was a,
oh, wow,
a miracle.
Man, that was one of the craziest weeks.
Yeah, and it all happened like within a week. I mean, yeah, it was like boom, boom, boom.
Let's go back to it. So when you guys were in Louisiana, you guys planned to move here in a couple of months or a couple of years, right?
Well, Dusty told us that he was moving here, mm-hmm, and he was taking my mom and my daughter with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but I can't be mad because it's God's will is God's will.
Yeah.
What am I going to do to change God's will? I'm not going to say, no, God, mm-hmm, you're not going to do that. You're, yeah, not going to take my mom or my daughter. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want them to be in God's will. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't happy about it, but I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we started praying, what is exactly your perfect will for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was people that I didn't know, people that didn't know me,
mm-hmm,
that was coming to me and saying, God is calling you to Kansas.
They spoke that to you.
Yes.
That's awesome.
There were,
yeah,
witnesses and confirmations. Mm-hmm. So there was no doubt in our mind,
mm-hmm,
what God had for us.
Right.
So we knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
Right.
So I had some land in Elm Grove.
Uh-huh.
I had 17 acres of land. I sold it.
Mm-hmm.
We came up here on vacation for a week. 1 week.
1 week.
And we were looking for houses.
We were looking for houses.
And, you know, we'd find one and, you know, oh, I love that. Well, it was sold. And then we were like,
these houses were really awesome.
Yeah. And it was like, I was like, God, I'll be happy with a tiny house. Well, that Friday night, we were getting ready to come home that Saturday. And
Saturday morning.
Yeah, James was like,
okay, the Friday night before we left, mm-hmm, I looked on the app one more time. Yeah. Every time I looked at this app, there were no houses in Derby.
Mm.
Friday night before I went, yeah, to bed, there was a house in Derby.
Mm.
The house that we live in,
yeah,
was on the Realty app. So that next morning, we went and looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect for us. I mean, it's a small house.
Yeah.
It's not tiny.
It is tiny.
It's small. Perfect. Okay, it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Okay, mm-hmm, it's 800 and something square feet. Which is fine, because it's, mm-hmm, just her and I.
Mm-hmm.
There's no kids there,
mm-hmm,
except for our dogs, mm-hmm, and our cats. So anyway, I called the realty guy on the sign in the, uh-huh, front yard, and I said, I want this house.
Mm-hmm.
I've got cash to buy this house. He said, well, it don't work like that, but if you come to my office, we'll draw up papers. You can sign them. You give me $1,500, and then when we go to, you know, finalize it, you wire us the money.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, we owned the house.
Yeah.
Praise,
yeah,
God.
It was like, so, oh, well, there's no question.
So, okay, if somebody asks me, do you think God is going to drop a house in your lap? Well, before that happened, I wouldn't have said yes.
Mm.
But now,
mm,
God basically dropped a house, yeah, in our lap.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, after that, there was not even a doubt,
amen,
that God wanted us here.
Because
he provided everything.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. He made sure that my kid was good, mm-hmm, as far as we were able to pay the house off where he lives now.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get me a different truck so I could leave him a truck.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a vehicle. It was just, here's, yeah, one, here's, yeah, two, here's three, here's,
yeah,
four.
It's, God. It's just,
so, praise, yeah, God.
And, yeah, he's got a job, and he's paying the bills in Shreveport. Yeah. So, amen. I mean,
amen.
God did it.
Amen. And that just shows to us and to everybody, mm-hmm, that when you decide to go all in with God, he's not going to leave you, no, broken. He's, no, not going to leave you helpless. No. But he's going to provide for your needs.
Yes.
God is here. He has all his promises unto us.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to give it all to us. He's not a God that's saying, oh, because you're old or because you're... I'm old. I didn't grow up. I got saved late in life.
Right.
And just because I'm here, like, old, that this is your portion. No, he's going to give whatever he gave to the first disciples. Mm-hmm. That is what we're going to receive.
Yeah.
We talked about that in a Bible study too. He hired people and gave them a penny, and then at the very last hour, he went and got more people. He gave them a penny too, they started complaining. You gave them as much as we did. We worked all day.
Right.
It's the same reward.
It's the same. Yes. It's just that we have got to give ourselves all in.
That's right. That's right. That's the only way that it's going to stick.
Amen.
That's the only way that we can actually have a relationship.
That's right.
Okay. Look, I work on my relationship every day.
Yes.
With this woman. Mm. I don't just expect her to, you know, be okay with me not trying to, you know, talk to her every day. Mm-hmm. If I get up and leave for work and don't give her a kiss and don't say bye, I love you, it ain't gonna go well. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what your relationship with God needs to be.
That's right.
It needs to be a daily thing. Amen. You need to communicate with him.
Amen.
You need to give him the praise that he's due, the honor that he's due.
Amen.
It's not gonna work.
That's right.
There has to be a commitment.
Yeah. That's right. There has to be a commitment. And if we don't put any commitment, where is God gonna meet us?
That's right.
Just
as we need to have an altar, because that is where God meets us. But if we have an altar and we don't have any sacrifice, we don't have any commitment, what is God gonna visit?
Right.
If we don't put ourselves in those altars, what is God going to visit?
That's right. And if there's another God we're trying to have a relationship with,
right?
If there was another lady I was trying to talk to having a relationship with, be problems.
Yeah.
Be problems. Yeah. If there was another guy she was talking to trying to have a relationship with, it'd be problems.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's the way it is with God. You can't put a God before him.
Mm-mm.
No. He is the true God.
Yes, he is.
Right. As we talked about, we have to give all of ourselves in it.
Amen.
It's not halfway in and expecting to reap the full benefits.
Yeah. No. You can't sit on that fence.
That's right. You can't.
The fence belongs to the devil.
Amen. Yep. Amen. That's so true. There are people out there, just like us, just like you, having the same experience in their life. Maybe they're having doubts. What would you say from your experience? How to encourage them to pursue and continue to walk with God and to give all in. Maybe there's a biker out there that's wanting to get out, but doesn't know how to get out because he's got this commitment to his group.
Yeah, there's a commitment to a motorcycle club.
Yeah.
But that commitment that you made to that motorcycle club ain't going to get you to heaven.
Mm.
That biker club didn't create you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't breathe you into existence.
Mm.
Jesus did.
Amen.
We got a scripture to back that up. He spoke you into existence.
Amen.
I knew you before I created you in your mother's womb. He created you.
Amen.
I was committed to this motorcycle club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a joke. I took my vest with the patches and all that on there, and I took it to the dude, and I was like, here. I'm out. And he wasn't happy.
Mm.
It was about to be trouble for me. And I told him, I said, you didn't beg me to get in this club, and I'm not begging you to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking over my back 24/7 because there's people that had wanted to kill me from rival clubs. So I told him, I said, you didn't beg me to get in here. I'm not begging you to get out. I'm telling you that I'm done and I'm walking away.
Mm.
And that's it. So I turned around and walked out. And hindsight, I wish I had never got involved with it to begin with at all. It's not a good lifestyle.
Right.
This is my lifestyle.
Amen.
I want this to stay my lifestyle.
Amen. There's people out there, they're afraid to leave their friends. They're afraid to leave their group because they say, who is going to be my friend now? They've been helping me.
Man.
But you know what? When you leave those things, God is going to give us a better gift.
I'm just going to tell you right now, my friends that I have now are so much better than the friends I had in the world.
Amen.
Because the friends in the world will let you down.
Oh, yes.
Straight up going to let you down.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to be 100% for people.
Amen.
It just, I mean, most of them don't. Yeah. And I'm not putting nobody down, but you don't understand what the brotherhood is until you're actually walking by the principles of this Bible.
Amen.
Because our brotherhood, man, it's the strongest Amen. Brotherhood I've
Amen.
Ever been a part of.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Amen. And just the joy, the peace that you feel. Well, you feel the same way to a brother outside, but they have their lives. Mm-hmm. They go through their homes after if you guys spend how many hours then, but they're still going to go to their separate lives. But the Bible says that we have a friend that is closer than a brother.
That's right.
And he's not going to leave us nor
forsake
us. Whenever we're alone, whenever we're down by ourselves, that we cannot find somebody to say, man, I need help. We can always cry unto Jesus and say, I need your help.
That's right.
And Sister Tracy, for you, what would you give us a advice, or what would you give us a testimony for those who just, we didn't grow up in Pentecost.
Right.
And we didn't understand about Pentecostals.
Yeah. For real, it would be, do not give up. You know, I had to learn how to have a prayer life, and I still work on that daily. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to read my Bible. I still work on that daily, because it's just, you got to train yourself. You know, if you're hungry and you want to learn more, you just have to do it.
Amen.
And there is one friend, that I still totally can talk to and stuff from Shreveport. She was in the same life I was, as far as smoking weed and drinking and going to bars and parties. Well, she saw the change in our life. And
that's awesome.
She reads her Bible. She has quit socializing with a lot of those people. It's just amazing. And when you see how you've impacted somebody, no better feeling, to see the change in them as well as, but don't give up. And, you know, I've noticed since I quit smoking, if I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, because my dogs wake me up all the time anyway, but if I'm awoken, I immediately start thanking Jesus. I immediately, that's just everything that runs through my mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. And then, you know, I drift off back to sleep. But I go back to sleep praising him. Amen. And this might happen 3-4 times a night, but it's just.
She has to tell this story too, okay? Because one thing that someone can look forward to is winning someone.
Amen.
Okay, when you win a soul, you got to tell the story about your coworker getting shot.
Okay.
Dude, there is nothing like being able to say, I helped win this person's soul to Jesus.
Which, we had a vacation down to Shreveport, and the service before we left, I believe it was Bishop, had said, you know, you're not going to go to heaven unless you win a soul. And that, like, played havoc on me, because I was like, James, I haven't won anybody, you know. Oh my gosh, what am I going
to
do?
God called us to be soul winners.
Yeah, and he did. Well, that week, I guess it was maybe 2 weeks before we went down there. One of my real good friends, I actually stole him from another job to have him come work for me. he got shot. Him and his baby were going to the store, and people driving down the street were shooting at each other. So he jumped over to cover his baby and got shot right back here. So he went in and had surgery. They had to take a vein from his leg and put it in his arm.
It was a whole ordeal.
It was bad. So he's still going through physical therapy because he can't really move his wrist. Well, I picked up the phone. I was like, hey, I need you to go to church with me. You need to go.
That's awesome.
He was like, all right. Well, we got in that church, and I mean, the minute any singing started, anything, he was up there just crying.
He was bawling.
Just, you could tell. I was like, oh, God's moving on him. God's moving on him.
He was so great.
Well, at the end, you know, when it's altar call, I got that little nudge, like God going, grab his hand, take him up front. Oh, I said, God. Come on, it's... Casey.
Bro, that's awesome.
He fell to his knees.
It didn't take long. Yeah, he fell on his knees.
He got that Holy Ghost.
Man.
Praise God.
And I was just like, yay, Casey, I'm so happy for you. Because, I mean, he is a great person. He takes care of his kids.
He's an awesome dude.
You know, and he just needs God. Just Amen. Mold him and get him to where he needs to be.
Amen.
And it was just amazing. Best feeling ever yes, to know ever, that I yes. led yes. him there. And I,
yes.
and like one of the members of the church looked at him and said, you know, God sent Tracy and James down here just for
this
that.
This week. Yeah.
This week, just for that.
Yes,
and
for
he
that.
Was like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I do. That's right.
Amen.
So if there was anything I could say to someone uh-huh. to keep pressing forward,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
To help someone to realize that they need Jesus.
Amen.
Man, there is no feeling like it in this world.
Amen.
And I'm working on my brother. He lives in Shreveport. He's had very serious addictions. Very serious. We had to kick him out of the house. He was being confrontational with my son, not wanting to pay his bills because he was spending his money on drugs. Mm. And I was like, gotta go.
Bad.
Mm. So he went through rehab and has a Bible study going with the pastor now.
Praise God.
And he has to go to one church because of the house he's living in as part
Amen.
Of the rules.
Amen.
But on Sunday night and Wednesdays and Thursdays, he's going to the Pentecostal church. He's like, I'm oh. Pentecostal. I want to go to the Pentecostal.
So and he's going in the right direction.
Yeah. Amen. So, you know, and I've been pushing him, and Amen. God's going to get a hold of him, and yes. he's going to be running out. He's going to get baptized.
That's right.
And KC, James is going to baptize KC when he Amen. Heals. So,
I'm so excited.
Yeah. We're going to drive down there I'm just so to baptize excited. Him and turn around and come back.
Amen.
So,
yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And that is one of the rewards.
Yes.
Of just walking with God. You see, we think there's a lot of people that say, well, what am I going to do? Just going to church and be saved for myself? No.
No.
It might be that was your first intention, but God is not just going to save you to save you.
That's right.
Because his intention is for us
That's right.
to pick up those that we know and,
That's right.
and be a light to them.
Yeah.
And there's no greater feeling, you said it, when you feel like God is using you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a part of God's family. I am a child of God. Yes. All those doubts, all the voices of the enemy that say, you're not really a child of God. All those, like, what are you talking about? You can just tap on that.
It really does get easier to tell him, you're stupid.
Yeah.
It really does.
Get out of my head.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's just like the I don't really know what to call it, but the rock in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
You throw one little bitty rock in the pond, and it ripples all the way out to the edge of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So you live in this life. You don't really know what effect you have on people.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. The word says that Paul planted and Apollos watered.
That's right.
But God gives the increase.
That's right.
So you don't know what effect you have on somebody.
That's right. Amen.
Until you see them come pray through on Sunday morning.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Amen. John chapter 15, verse 4 would say, abide in me.
That's right.
And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me.
That's right.
He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so, we all go through struggles in life.
Yes.
We think that we go through that by ourselves. But God didn't come here so he can show us, hey, this is your struggle.
Right.
But he said, just like what we read in Matthew, he said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is willing to take on our infirmities. He's That's willing right. to take on our troubles. The only thing is we have to exchange our troubles for his burden and for his love.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
We have to go all out, leaving halfway, for God will lead us to nowhere. If you want to reap the full benefits of living as a child of God, the full benefits, the rewards that is contained in this book for His children.
That's right.
Yeah. It's time to say enough is enough. I'm tired of living halfway. Mm-hmm. I have to get all in.
Yeah. That's right.
And when you have that mentality, you say, I'm going to press on. It doesn't matter if I'm going to be ridiculed. It doesn't matter if my friends are going to forsake me. God is going to give me the peace. God is going to give you the joy. And whatever you lost in the world, He's going to give you much, much better.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
I am grateful. I am thankful for you guys.
We are
grateful and thankful for you, brother.
And hopefully we can do this more often again.
Yes.
Well, you know, the nervousness that I had is gone. Amen. So it's good.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. I'm glad I said yes.
Amen.
And my brother James, would you close us out in prayer?
Yes. Lord, we thank you for today.
Yes,
God. God, I thank you for all of your many blessings.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to be with everyone that is watching right now, Lord. I ask you to speak to their heart, God. Draw them by your Spirit, Lord. Reassure them, God, that you're not going to let them down. Lord, show them that you are there for them and you love them. God, you died on a cross for them, Lord Jesus. You shed your precious life's blood for them. Lord, I ask you to make a way, God, for them to give their life to you, Lord, and commit fully to this gospel. Lord, God, break the chains, Lord. Break the enemy. Lord, shut the mouths of lions, God, for them. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, God, I ask you to put angels around them, God, to protect them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, let someone be a light in their life, God, and lead them to you. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And so we hope that you've been encouraged by the testimony of my precious brother and sister. Do not give up.
No.
Keep pressing forward.
That's
it
right.
Might be hard at the beginning, but the rewards are much, much greater.
Yes.
You're going to have the peace, the joy. And so from my brother James and from my sister Tracy, until the next time we see each other again, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.
Well, there you go, my friends. We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word, and we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk, and please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That on your favorite podcast, and also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry. Just click on This Is That video link. Until we meet again, continue to stay strong in the Lord. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.